Every church needs a church member like, or many church members like Marge. And that's not to the exclusion of some of you other folks that faithfully serve and been coming here for years and doing that. I just wanted to have a special day for just to recognize Marge. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, in Psalm 100 for Thanksgiving message this morning. Give you a second to get there. Psalm 100. And the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We do thank you for Marge again and all the people that serve you faithfully, Lord, looking for a great day that lies ahead, Lord, when you can look upon us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, ask you to help us to recognize your goodness to us. Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for. And Lord, I pray we take this time to reflect on that today, each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Of course, the emphasis in this psalm is on God's goodness and on the goodness to his people and their responsibility to acknowledge him and to worship him. There's some key words and some key thoughts in the verses that I read already. The Bible says to make a joyful noise. Not just any noise, but it says a joyful noise. And the Bible says there also to serve the Lord with gladness, which is the opposite of serving the Lord out of just a sense of duty or serving the Lord because nobody else will do it, but that we to serve the Lord with gladness. And then it says to enter into his gates, which means into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. Now, you and I both know in the real world that I'm not sure that entering into his presence, when we think about coming to church or coming to worship, that we always come with that same thought in our mind that we enter into God's presence or come to worship the Lord with thanksgiving and with praise. And of course, Satan, this old world, beats us down, aggravates us, takes our joy, takes our thankfulness away from us. So I wanted to think about what is the key for us to always be in an attitude of thankfulness and an attitude of praise. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says there in verse 18, this is the key to it all, says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, we see there that key number one for this attitude of thankfulness and praise is being filled with the Spirit. The evidence of that is verse 19. It says evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is joy. One of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit of God is thankfulness. And then in verse 21, it's also submissiveness. So three things right there. Colossians 3, 16 through 24 kind of backs up everything that Ephesians 5, 18 through 21 says. Just I'll not read that to you this morning for sake of time. But we understand joy, thankfulness, and submissiveness is the evidence of the filling of the Spirit. So we see the number one key there is be filled with the Word of God. Filled with the Word of God. That comes out in Colossians chapter 3, I believe. And once again, same result. Joyful, thankful, submissive. Those are the characteristics of a believer that's controlled by the Spirit of God. And so I want to give a couple comments on why that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, why we need to be thankful, why we need to be joyful, why we need to be submissive. And number one is the world is watching. You know, the world is watching. I mean, the world watches us and knows that if we're Christians, listen, how we act, how we react to circumstances in our life, the world is watching to see that. And, if we act like the world does, then obviously the world doesn't see a difference in our life. It's hard to convince somebody that they need Jesus Christ in their life. So we know the world is watching. Another thing, Satan's watching. Satan's watching just to see if he can steal our joy. Satan's watching to see if he can steal our thankfulness. He wants to take our praise. Boy, if he gets us on, you know what happens when we, you know, look at the opposites of thankfulness, the opposites of joyfulness, and the opposite of praising God, you know, is what? We're grumbling, we're complaining, we're griping about things, we're not satisfied, we're unhappy, we complain a lot, and Satan is looking so he can see if he can get a foothold in that area of our life as well. So we know the world's watching, we know Satan's watching, and we also notice that God is watching. God is watching, boy, to see that if we're grateful for all he's done for us. So just a few points I want to speak to you about this morning that go along with those thoughts. Number one, be joyful. Number one, with thanksgiving, be joyful right there. The filling of the Spirit, which means being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, it can't produce anything but joy. Man, I mean, if you've ever really gotten close to God and got a taste of being filled with the Spirit of God, or if you've been filled with the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you, there's a certain peace, satisfaction, an inner joy that the world can't explain. Satan can't take it away. And matter of fact, you can't explain it yourself. It is just an unbelievable, a deep experience of adequacy, confidence, in spite of the circumstances around us. That's what filling of the Holy Spirit of God. There's a difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. You know what? A thermostat controls the atmosphere. And a thermometer just tells what the atmosphere is as far as the temperature goes. You know, the kind of joy that I'm talking about, it's not a thermometer, it's a thermostat. Instead of rising and falling with the circumstances, it determines the spiritual temperature of the circumstance. You know, when you think about the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given to the church and the Holy Spirit fell on all the believers, they looked and acted so different than everybody else that was going on with them. The people that were looking said, "These people are drunk with new wine." I mean, it wasn't that they were staggering around and they were bumping into things and they were out of control. Actually, being filled with the Spirit is the opposite. Being filled with the Spirit, you're under control. But what it was, they were so different. They were so happy. Huh? They were so happy, so excited, so joyful that the people said, "Man, these people must have been drinking. They're so excited about things. Man, that is, try that instead of a trip down to the beer store. Try being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It'll save you a lot of money to start with. And instead of being out of control, you'll be in control. And it'll be God that's in control of the situation." And so think about that joy and self-control. That's fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, you think about Paul and Silas. I like to use those guys. A couple of guys that got beaten. I don't know about you. I don't like to get beaten. They got beaten. They got thrown into prison. Not even only in the prison. They were down in the lower parts of the prison, the dungeon, down there where everything runs downhill. They were unchained. It was midnight. They're tired. Man, what were they doing? You know, they could have been grumbling and complaining, but the Bible says that they were singing. Man, they were singing and praising God at midnight in the jail. And I thought about it. I bet you that had never happened before. I bet you that jailer had said, kind of like those people that witnessed the filling of the Spirit on the believers on the day of Pentecost, that jailer said, "What in the world is going on down there? Man, we done beat these guys. They're down in the dungeon. It's dark, rats, cockroaches, you know, all kind of other stuff going down there. And these guys are singing." You know what? It struck a chord in his head. What's the difference? We've locked up thousands of people. This has never happened before. What is the difference in these guys? See, that's what God intends for us to be. We're supposed to be witnesses and lighthouses and lights in this world, this dark world that we live in. And so that when we're filled with the Spirit of God, you know, you don't have to have a bumper sticker on your car telling everybody that, you know, your boss is a Jewish carpenter, or God's your co-pilot, which he ought to be your pilot, not your co-pilot anyway. You don't have to have all that. People just look at you and say, you know, there's something different about that person. There's something different about them. And I want to know what it is. Man, they got joy in spite of the circumstances. They were in a jail, and they had joy. And that jailer, you know, that jailer ended up getting saved because of this. And I'll talk about that just a little bit later on in the message. The second thing, and this doesn't seem like it would fit in, but it be submissive. being submissive. You know what? Being filled, this is what this means. Being filled with the Spirit of God produces harmony. It's all of a sudden people you can't get along with, you suddenly can. Huh? Isn't that amazing? Husbands and wives, parents and children. The Bible uses the term masters and servants. We would use it as employers, employees. All of a sudden, we can get along well. Before the day of Pentecost, the apostles were arguing amongst themselves that who was the greatest. I wonder who the greatest is among us. See, there's a self-centered focus. After the day, the giving of the Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, guess what? It took care of it. Because by nature, naturally, we promote ourselves, but supernaturally, we submit ourselves. The Holy Spirit produces a sincere desire to glorify Christ. This is how, we were talking about in Sunday school class, in my class, we were looking in the book of Haggai. It's only two chapters in the whole book, but it had this thing, it says, consider your ways. It says, consider your ways. In other words, think about your priorities in life. What's your priority? Promoting you or promoting Christ? That's the whole thing. And he said, because you're thinking about, in Haggai, they were thinking about promoting themselves. They were taking care of their house, not the house of God. And those things right there, he said, I'm giving you bags with holes in. In other words, all your money, you put your money in a bag, and guess what? The money keeps running out. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? It's running out. And said, you're not satisfied. You're eating, but you're not satisfied. You drink, you're not satisfied. You're putting clothes on, you're not satisfied. I'm blowing upon it, God said, because you're not putting me first. But when we're filled with the Spirit and we put God first, and then God blesses that, doesn't blow on it. And that's just a different thing, a desire. But what Haggai's question was, consider your ways. Think about what is your priority in life. What is it really? If it's God, what are you doing with that priority in your life? Think about that. And so that's the whole reason that the Holy Spirit was given, by the way, to glorify God. The Holy Spirit wasn't given so that I could stand up here and speak in another tongue or do some kind of miraculous thing where you say, oh, look at me, or where you could be in the same place and say, oh, look at me, which was what was the problem with the Corinthian church, by the way. The Holy Spirit was given so that we could glorify God. If God's going to give us a gift, if God's going to give us a tool, if God's going to empower us, it's not to glorify ourselves, it's to glorify Him. And so that's what we need to do, and what He intended for us to do. And that's the satisfying thing about that. It produces that joy. Listen, we don't use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses us. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to work in our lives. And so I want to emphasize this. Every believer needs to spend time in the Word of God every day. Listen, you want to be filled. I shared this with her Wednesday night, maybe last Sunday or Sunday night before. I can't remember, but there's a price to pay to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that price is going to be spending time in the Word of God. And I mean quality time. I don't mean just reading a couple of verses so you can check it off the list and say, well, I read some verses. But when you're in the, and listen, when you neglect the Word of God, I don't know if everybody else can tell, but God can tell. And listen, when you're in the Word of God, everybody else can tell, and God knows. Understand that. So you have to be in the Word of God. Saturate yourself with the Word of God to be filled with the Word of God. The price to pay for being filled with the Spirit of God. Now listen, it's worth it. It's worth it, though, to be filled with the Spirit of God and have that joy. The third thing is to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And let me paraphrase it this way. In every circumstance, give thanks. In every circumstance, give thanks. And, you can think about some hard circumstances. Maybe some you've been in, maybe some that somebody's been in. You think, boy, it's hard at times to give thanks. But listen, if God's in control, everything happens for a reason, right? And so what he tells us, instead of imitating the world, be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And, that will dictate, how we react or respond in the circumstances. Listen, our thankfulness is revealed in how we worship, and how we worship God. That's really how our thankfulness, how God knows, how you approach worship. Like if you got up this morning and you said, well, it's Sunday, we ought to go to church. Maybe even we need to go to church. Don't really want to, but you ever been in that state? You're just thinking, boy, it's a struggle. I got to go. I got to get down there. And listen, it's good for you to fight through all that. And come on, I'm not saying every time you feel like that, don't show up. Won't nobody be here. But boy, what a difference it is when, man, you're excited about it. You're excited about worshiping God. You're excited about the Word of God. You're excited about singing to God. You ever notice how to sing in sometimes probably could use a little bit of help? You know, sometimes we just kind of, But boy, how many of you holler at the TV set? I do it all the time. How many of you do that? You get in there watching a football game? Yeah, you know, you're yelling at the TV. Sherry said to something, yeah. She goes, Daniel, quit yelling at the TV set. They can't hear you. I said, but it makes me feel better. It makes me feel better when I yell at the referee, right? But you know that, why do you do that? Because you're passionate about what you're watching. But you know what? When we're singing to the Lord, man, we're passionate about it. It doesn't matter. There's that little boy. I don't think he was here today. Remember that little, there's that little boy that comes sometimes. The guy can't sing a lick, but he is loud. He can't carry a tune in a bucket, man. I'm telling you. But he gets up here and he gets his eyes. Man, if you ever look at him right here, it's funny because you'll see like me and Paul are laughing because y'all can't see him. But he gets his eyes, man, and he's into it and he's singing. It's all off key. It's all out of tune. But I'm going to tell you what, it's in his heart, buddy. It's right there. That's it. It says make a joyful noise. It didn't say it had to be a good noise. It just said make a joyful noise. He got that down pat. Man, that's what we all ought to be singing like that. Excited about the things of God. Here's the deal. Well, preacher, I'm not doing that. I'll tell you why you're not doing it, because it's not in your heart. You hadn't got your heart straight, right, filled with the Holy Spirit. Get that right, it'll be there. It'll be right there. And so, we need to understand that and praise God and be excited in all circumstances. Well, how do you do that? How can you be, because we got to get down to the practical nuts and bolts of the deal, right? All right, preacher said, got my hand lopped off. I ought to be thankful, I ought to be joyful, whatever, How do you do it? It's got to be some practical things there in the Word of God for us to do that, right? Here it is, number one. Know God is good all the time. Know that God is good all the time. That, and consequently know that God's will only allows circumstances that will ultimately result in good. And we were talking about in the book of Haggai, God said, listen, I caused a famine to come on the land. Well, listen, a famine's not a good deal. But if the results of the famine gets you to turn back to God with your whole heart, it is a good deal. Amen. And so when the money in the holes, the bag with holes in it, that's not good. But if it gets you to turn back to God, it is good. See, so ultimately, the good thing, when you was a little boy and daddy, how many of you got a whipping back in the old days when you could whip your kids without getting locked up and put in jail, huh? I mean, I got the whipping. The belt left marks, man. I mean, you get locked up for that today. Only got about four of them my whole life because that's all I needed. They lasted. They were good, right? Now, the whipping wasn't any good. But what it taught me was good. What it taught me was not, to do the right thing and mainly just listen to your parents. That's that's a good one right there, which comes in handy in a lot of areas in life today. Remember Joseph, when Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, they were going to kill him. They sold him into slavery by his brothers. He was sold into slavery to Potiphar, and then Potiphar's wife accused him falsely of trying to molest her. And then he got put into prison and all these years went by. But then he got promoted all the way up to number two man in Egypt, right under Pharaoh. He got and God put him in that position, and he had wisdom enough to save all the grain and the corn and everything for the 7 years of plenty, for the 7 years of drought. And then his family, who was starving to death, was able to come and get corn. Remember what he said? He got to his brothers. He said, listen, don't be afraid. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And later on, if you read that text, he said what the good was to save much people alive. How in the world? Because you got to think about it. God's got to get Joseph, just an old shepherd boy that's a Hebrew, all the way to Egypt to be the number two in command of Pharaoh. How would you do it? God had a plan. We'd have never thought of this plan. He got him there to do it. So that was the good. Gratitude and thanksgiving requires us to maintain a proper perspective of God and our circumstances. We have to think about that. Remember the circumstances. Nothing's out of God's control. Nothing. And remember I said this a while ago. I said, one of the reasons why we need to be thankful, be grateful, is because Satan is watching, right? The Bible says that Satan is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Now I watch all them little National Geographic things on TV. I like those animal things. And they always got the ones on there about the big cats, man. They got the lions on there, and they watch them hunt and everything, see how it works out. You ever notice when you're watching those, what kind of animals do the lions attack? Usually, yeah, the weak. Huh? They get the weak ones. They get the ones that are injured, something that's getting kind of sick, something wrong with it. Well, guess what? Guess who Satan attacks? Huh? Satan attacks the weak and the lazy and the indifferent and the people that aren't reading the Word of God and aren't, you know, they're spiritually sick and spiritually injured in that sin. Well, how does he know? Guess what lets Satan know that we're weak and we're vulnerable? When our praise is gone. Huh? When our thanksgiving disappears, he's on the prowl. Huh? He said, there's one right there I can get. There's one right there. They're disgruntled. Boy, I got a little wedge. I'll get them in there. I'll get them disgruntled about some more stuff. Huh? There's one that's right there. They don't have no praise. They don't have no thanksgiving. There's no joy in their heart. I'll get them right now. I'll eat them up. And a lot of times he does. That's how he knows. He looks around and sees when our joy and our praise and our thanksgiving is gone. So what does that tell us? The way to defeat Satan is to praise God. Praise God, thank God. Even when it don't look like it's something there, there's always something there. Listen, Job knew it. Satan went up there before God. He said, yeah, you know, God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Man, he's upright, upstanding. Satan said, yeah, he is, but you've been blessing him. He said, you take all them blessings away. He said, I'll tell you what, you take all that away, he'll curse you to your face. God said, all right, go ahead and see. Because God knew his heart. He said, now, it wasn't a joyful thing. It wasn't a joyful circumstance. Listen, he lost all his children. He lost all his substance, his cattle, his family. He lost everything in a single day. Had 7 children. Lost them in a single day. Can you imagine? Imagine just losing one child is bad. 7 in a day. Huh? Job's wife said, hey, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Amen. Huh? No, he said, I'm trusting God. So then God said, he didn't say it that way. That's the way I'd have done it. He said, He said, what happened to you? He said, he didn't do it. He said, well, you know, take his health away. Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Job said, still trusting God, still worshiping God. He didn't understand it, but he said, I'm trusting him right there. Satan knew. Satan thought that he could get it, but you know what? He couldn't get the circumstances to change how Job felt about God. Satan's watching. He's watching you. Listening, God's watching too. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, God's looking for people to whom he can show himself strong. But for God to do that, they have to be people whose hearts are fully committed to him and people who are willing to thank him even when in difficult circumstances. God's looking for people like that. Amen? Remember this? Here's a nice little thing I give you on this here. Remember Paul and Silas? I said they were singing in the prison and they were praising God, right? And that old jailer heard them. And we know how the story goes. It says that, you know, what happened was there was an earthquake and the chains fell off and the prison doors fell open. And the jailer is responsible for those prisoners. And if they get away, then whatever punishment they were supposed to have, they usually would give it to the jailer. So like if they were supposed to die, then he was going to die. And he knew it. And he was going to take his own life. He was going to fall on his sword. But Paul said, hey, he said, don't hurt yourself. We're all here. Now remember, the prison doors was open and all that. But what happened was, and then the jailer came in and he fell down trembling. See, because God knew, God had it all worked out that Paul and Silas would be in that jail because that jailer needed to get saved and his family needed to get saved. And so he came in and he fell down and he got saved that very night. So Paul was still there. But I don't know if you ever noticed this before, and I never noticed it, and I started looking at it just a little bit deep. It always seems like when you read it real fast, it seems like that the jailer took Paul home to his house and healed up his wounds and everything, and that's where he got saved. He was still in the jail. He was still in the jail because think about it. If they had all went home, what would have happened to the jailer? He would have died. That's right. The authorities would have come and said, man, where's the prisoners? Oh, I took them to my house and we had a little picnic and, you know, we hooked. Yeah. No, he was still in the jail. Because later on it says, the next morning they sent the magistrates down there and said, oh, look, Paul, we're going to let you go. Remember, the earthquake happened at midnight. But at daybreak, the magistrates came down there. And Paul and them were all still there because the jailer's life was at stake. And Paul told him, he said, listen, he said, you beat me openly and publicly and accused me publicly. And you're going to let me go privately? You're going to do it publicly as well. And that's why he was still there. But so what's the point? Well, listen, the point is this, that, you know, sometimes in our life, Thanksgiving, when we have circumstances in our life and we thank God and we praise God, it doesn't always bring an immediate end to the circumstances that we're in. But it does break the prison within us that we have a freedom in the midst of the circumstances, understanding that God's in control, even though we may still be in the circumstances that we're in at the time. It's an inner peace. It's an inner joy. And that's the thing. That's how it always produces thanksgiving. It always produces thanksgiving when we're filled with the Spirit and we understand that God's in control. We're not worried about everything. See, that's another. I gave you some indicators of what thanks, you know, if you're filled with the Spirit, joy, thanksgiving, praise that. I'll give you an indicator of not being filled with the Spirit, worrying about everything. Worrying about everything, complaining about everything. Huh? That's not a filling of the Spirit. Huh? Man, listen, thanksgiving doesn't bring it in. It does produce inner freedom in the midst of our circumstances. Listen, our suffering, and in the midst of our suffering, one day it will come to a close. But even now, in this life, in this time, it may not. But we still can thank God. We got so many things to be thankful for. And it may even be the circumstances that we're in at the time that don't seem pleasant. We can thank God for those things because of what God's trying to do. But you know what? I think like this. When I'm going through a trial, and it doesn't seem like, you know, it's something that God's doing. It might be the picture of the furnace where God's working on you that way, or the potter's wheel where God's working on you that way. But whatever. You know what? I'm thankful for? That God's not done with me. Huh? God's not working on me for no reason. You know, God's not got me back on the wheel, or God doesn't have me in the furnace for no reason. Because that tells me, listen, I'm not done with you, son. I'm still got something for you to do. And I'm going to use you. I just got to work on you just a little bit more. Amen? Amen. There's so many things we could be thankful for. We want to remember God in that. And thankful that He died for us, paid the price for our sins, that we could have eternal life. It's my hope and prayer that you're here today. You're saved. That you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If not, boy, what a day as we celebrate our Thanksgiving today here with our church family. What a day to give your heart, your life to Jesus Christ. Come in. You'll have something to be thankful for, something to shout about. And so if you haven't done that, as we have an invitation, you come. You can be saved today. Maybe you just want to come to the altar, thank God for all He's done for you. And if that's your thought, you come as Paul leads us.